Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Sponsored by Northwest Medicine, Steve Cochran. And let me go over here and get Dr. Kevin Most on the radio. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
We are great. We're in the brand new Allstate Skyline Studios.
That's pretty cool.
Can you tell? Can you tell from where you are?
I can't see it from here. Stick your head out the window.
Well, we have an amazing view from this studio. The studio, I think, where we'll be doing most of the shows is not quite ready yet, but that's on the lake side of the 303 East Wacker building. So we're off to a good start. We like it. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate seeing you and Maureen and Mickey over the weekend. That was very nice of you to come on out.
Most family had a big party, and my brother Mickey, visiting from out of town, ate all the mushrooms. And your mom, who makes these apparently family-famous, most family-famous stuffed mushrooms, Mickey coerced your mom into making him more.
Mick did okay. I mean, I think, there were some good appetizers that day, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and your brother Brad and Ann, nice job of the house. So what'd you get for your birthday?
I got my great friend Larry Ryan gave me some great golf balls, as did Mickey. Larry Ryan's golf balls have the number 59 on them.
And holding.
And then on the other side, it says 59.9. He told me the balls are only good for one day.
Oh, nice. Well, listen, as I told you at your party, you look fabulous for an old guy. Over the weekend, of course, someone else gave you a present. Did you open the present that I got for you and the brothers?
That you got me?
Yeah, for you and the brothers.
Yes. We're very stylish now.
What'd you get them?
I got them matching white belts to golf in.
A lot of golf going on, yeah.
Yeah. Sexy. I'm looking forward to that picture. One thing about the U.S. Open, Doc, before we get to what really matters here.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson threw a tantrum on Saturday. Was that the heat?
No, you know, you wish you could say it was the heat. And, you know, Phil is Phil, and I've been fortunate to know him for a while. And I'm not sure. I think the nice thing was he had enough time to think of what his excuse was going to be before he talked to the media. And many people might believe his excuse. They showed the next morning where that ball would have ended up, and it would have taken him more than two shots. He thought, hey, if I hit this moving ball and go in, you know, I'm gonna be in a better position. But I think he was a little frustrated, and he's been frustrated at Shinnecock in the past with the USGA.
The problem with it is he is not your average golfer. He's a world-class player. In all the years that I've played golf, watch golf, you as well, I've never seen anyone do it, let alone Phil Mickelson.
Nope.
And it's going to stick with him.
Yep.
It was a bad choice at a bad moment that he needed to take ownership of, and maybe he still will, but that was the downside to an entertaining U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, he's a role model. It's the integrity of the game. You know, there's kids watching this with their fathers on Father Day weekend, and it was unfortunate.
Yeah, and for people all over Twitter are going, what's the big deal? It's just golf. What's the big deal? He just had a bad moment. Here's the big deal. Tom Brady throws an interception. He doesn't get a do-over. LeBron James misses a free throw. He doesn't get to shoot till he makes it. You know, there are rules that matter because those are the rules, and sometimes there are unspoken rules and rules of etiquette and rules of things you just don't do.
Well, I guess my question for this is that you see this in other sports, whether it's baseball or football or even basketball.
Rizzo strikes out, refuses to leave.
But there are times when, you know, managers throw bases and there's complete tantrums on the field, and the next day you forget about it. Why does this stick with a golfer as opposed to a third baseman?
Different game, and a game where etiquette, rules, and self-governing matter. And you're expected to not only keep an eye on other players, expect to keep an eye on yourself. So
there you go.
All right, let's get on to what matters here. Cumulative heat. This is a term that Justin brought up to me, or I should say Steve Grzanich brought up to me, and need to know the effects of this before we jump into the rest of the story. Heat is cumulative. The negative effects are the same, Doc?
Well, you know, cumulative heat, when we talk about people that have heat injuries, you know, they will continue to have the possibility of more injuries as they're going on. So it's, you know, like the person who gets frostbite in the winter, we're concerned about frostbite for the next couple of weeks. you know, for cumulative heat, someone that gets that heat injury during the day or during, you know, over the weekend, they still have a propensity to have heat injuries as the weeks go on.
So you're weakened by it and you're more susceptible to problems.
Correct. Yep. So your kidneys have been stressed, you know, your skin has been stressed, your brain has been stressed, and you don't just drink a couple of cups of water and you're back to normal. So we know once you hit that point of heat exhaustion, heat stroke, you are going to have the effects of that for more than just a few hours.
What is when it comes to heat stroke, what does it do to your body?
Well, what happens with heat stroke, and that's the worst, that is the one we're the most concerned about. The body's cooling system shuts down. And once that happens, you essentially start cooking yourself, to be honest with you. You have that internal body temperature that gets up north of 104 degrees. Your organs can't take that much heat. And you actually do damage to your brain, you do damage to your kidney, you do damage to your heart, because the body was not made to work at those temperatures.
How do you know you're in a heat crisis, you know, where you're headed in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the heat exhaustion and, you know, the heat cramps. Those are the ones where, you know, you're getting really thirsty. You're sweating profusely. You're starting to get a little confused. Those are the ones, those are the signs, hey, I'm going down a bad direction here right now. And those are the ones where you really need to, you can treat those usually, get the person into a cool environment, get some fluids in them, and they should perk up quite a bit. People that are confused are not always drunk is probably one of the biggest things.
Here. You should do a T-shirt that says that. Yeah. John DeCosta, how to Doc.
Good morning, Doc Most.
Hi, John.
I have a question. How quickly do we absorb water when we drink it? Like if I have a cramp and in my leg or something and I drink water, how quickly does it get there?
Yeah, when you are dehydrated, you are going to take that in pretty quickly. The body is looking for that. So you're going to absorb it very fast. Now, when you have cramps, the cramps can be due to electrolyte imbalance as well as dehydration. So getting in a Gatorade might be more appropriate there, or, you know, some sports drink, because you want to get some of those electrolytes back that are going to help stop with that cramping. But the body is going to absorb it pretty quickly. That being said, when someone's having severe cramping and they're really close to heat exhaustion moving into heat stroke, those are the individuals, get them to the emergency room so that we can put an IV in them, and we'll fill up their tank a lot faster than they can.
Now, you and I playing golf, you went through this. Yeah. I've come close to this, I know, on multiple occasions. This is where the buddy system is crucial, right? Because you may not be aware you're in trouble.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when it happened to me, I was with you, and actually I was caddying. I wasn't playing. And it was nice. It was nice to have someone say, hey, whoa, you are not looking too good right now. Go sit down, get in some cool air, you know, and let's get some fluids into you. Because you start to be a little bit confused, and you really aren't so sure about it. So it's often, like you said, it's that buddy system looking at somebody going, man, you are really flushed. You are really sweating. Let's take care of you now. And that is very important.
So you get past that point and you stop sweating. We'll get more into this in a second. And Doc will tell you what you need to watch for and when it's really serious. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. .655 Dean Richards will pop in here and do a little television. He's doing Channel 9 from the new studios where we're located now, 303 East Wacker. And Dean will jump on the air with us more this morning as well. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're talking about heat. The body's pretty good at saving us, right? And keeping us in you know, from getting into trouble?
Yeah, you know, it is. And we, you know, we talk in the winter about frostbite, and then we talk in the summer about, you know, heat indexes and things like that. And it's amazing how the body can maintain a core temperature that's in a very tight range through an extremely wide range of temperatures, you know, here in Chicago, from, you know, 20 below to, you know, heat index of 105. And yet the body can maintain its temperature pretty good because it has a decent cooling system.
The sweating that, you know, a lot of people don't prefer is the safety mechanism. That's cooling us off. This is one of the keys to letting us know we're in trouble, right? If you get to a point where you stop sweating?
Yeah, that's when you're really in trouble. And the other time you're in trouble is when you're sweating, but the sweat is not going to help cool the body. So what happens when we sweat is the evaporation and air moving over the body when it's moist dissipates heat and allows us to cool. But unfortunately here, when we have, you know, dew points over 70, you know, 74 degrees, and we have humidity that's in the 90s, you know, the cooling, the chance for cooling decreases quite a bit because that water is not going to evaporate. So we're losing the ability for it to cool as well based on the temperature plus the humidity.
The heat and the humidity. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. Explain the difference and why one's worse than the other.
Yeah, so you've heard people say that all the time. Oh, it's a dry heat and it's not as uncomfortable. And the reason is that if you've ever been to, say, Phoenix or, you know, the Southwest there, you really don't even notice that you're sweating. But you are, and the body, as soon as that moisture is coming to the skin, it is evaporating and it is cooling your body. So that's when a dry heat, the cooling system works much better. Then now, today, days like today, when you're going to have dew points, you know, at, what, 75, 76 degrees, and you're going to have humidity at 90%, there's so much moisture in the air that the body doesn't have the ability for that moisture to go into the air. And when that happens, unfortunately, our cooling system doesn't work as well because we need that to evaporate in order for our body to cool.
Dr. Most, my question just is, when is this and that, when does this become a concern? Obviously, we've had three 90-degree days, but tomorrow there's a break in the weather pattern. You know, when you start talking about 95 in the heat wave, you're talking about 7, 8, 9 days straight. This is something that I think Chicagoans are used to. We're not at that level where we should be concerned about a prolonged heat index or heat wave as we've had in the past.
Correct. You know, right now we're going to get very fortunate to get that rain tonight and get that cool to come through. But I assure you, in July, we're going to have a stretch here where we're going to have 5, 6, 7 days in a row. And, you know, for most people, they can often take care of that by staying in a cool environment. But we have to realize once we get it over a weekend and we're back into the weekday, think about today, just even people walking from the train in suits. But also think about your law officers who are outside all day, construction workers, people that are working outside. Those are the people that we get the most concerned about because now they're not exposed to this hot temperature for a couple hours where we might be just in transit. They're out there for 10, 12 hours, and those are the ones where we're most concerned. And again, after numerous days, the body really starts to take its toll.
And check on your old people, the old people you love in your life, your neighbors, whatever, because they are most vulnerable. Ours are, you know, tiny kids as well. Doc, Dean Richards is here. Now, Dean, you normally...
I'm actually here to check on my old people. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I can't speak for the other people.
John, are you okay? Everybody okay?
Good.
Can I get you some oatmeal or some tomato soup or anything?
Oatmeal and tomato soup don't help with heat.
Oh,
Dean.
I guess
now,
that's
paying
true.
Attention.
I guess that's
true. Doc, Dean normally has one of his interns just wave palm fronds at him to keep him cool.
This is correct.
Is it the fans or the air conditioner? Obviously, air conditioning is most effective, but the fans work, or is that just a placebo for this?
Oh no, absolutely they do. So just the movement of air over moist skin is going to cool you. So absolutely, fanning somebody, you know, and if we all made as much money as Dean, then we would all have people that would be fanning us, you know, at this time. But really, true getting story. To a point where air is moving, whether it's air conditioning or just getting a fan in front of an individual, and if they get to a point where they're not cooling down quick enough, sprinkle water on them and turn the fan on them and make their own sweat so that it'll help decrease the heat.
I'm not a doctor like Kevin, but I'm just going to also offer some suggestion. When you're on the move, you got to move around. You don't even want to know where I poured a tray of ice cubes about a half an hour ago.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I was also going to say, do not do what I did today and wear saran wrap and wool.
That seemed like a terrible idea.
It looks nice, though.
It does.
In the morning, it's a great idea.
Thank you.
As the day goes down.
All right, Doc, the one thing you want people to know, the difference between heat stroke and what?
Yeah, I mean, between heat exhaustion, which is something a lot of us are going to get, we sweat profusely, we start to cramp, we get a little confused, that's the person, okay, let's get them in. Heat stroke, boy, the person can be agitated, and the person can have very flushed, dry skin. And again, often this, unfortunately, occurs with people who are drinking alcohol, and, you know, at parties when they're out in the sun, they lose, you know, their mind a little bit here. Those are the ones that we're most concerned. That's an emergency. That is, get some ice on their body, call 911. That's the person that, don't have them drink because they're confused and agitated. That's the person that's a life-threatening emergency.
And you still like the water Gatorade alternation situation?
I do. You know, the big thing You know, if we talk about prevention, you know, we talk about prehydration, so drinking 12 ounces before you're going to go do something, and then every 30 minutes take another 12 ounces. And I love the alternate of water and sports drinks. So you're going to get some electrolytes, you're going to get some sugar, and that's really important because people kind of lose their sense of thirst as they get beyond just simple heat exhaustion. So you want something that at least is appealing to them from a taste point of view as well.
Last question, because just because we're in a new studio doesn't mean I'm on time. Pets and heat.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I hate to put pets and little kids in the same boat, but they are. You know, pets going to lose a pets in their cars are going to be terrible, so don't do that. Don't leave your pet in a car. But also make sure you have water for the pets. Pets don't really sweat as well. They lose a lot of their heat through their tongue. That's why they're always panting. And in little kids,
Dean's the same way.
We always seem to bundle up little kids. Be careful with them. They can't tell you that they're thirsty. They are going to get flushed as well. And their cooling system is not fully functional until about age two.
Great information, Doc. We appreciate it. And we'll see if we can get John to take off at least one layer of plastic or wool.
Yeah, saran wrap probably be the first one I'd get rid of.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here.